relations of all Riddha by establishing himself with four conditions. He, the slave, says, if you give, talking about a law, I accept. If you hold back, I am content. If you abandon me, I worship you. And if you call me, O Lord, I respond. Know that contentment is the soundness of knowledge reaching hearts. If the heart pursues the reality of knowledge, this leads him to contentment. No one can do without love and contentment. Contentment is the stillness of the heart by surrendering to the choice that Allah makes with his slave, because Allah chooses what is best for him. So he accepts this and abandons unhappiness. So when we're unhappy, it's because we're fighting with the choice that Allah has made for us.
It's like the station of Job, you know, in the stories of the prophets, you know, when Allah threw him in the trash. He was fine.
Pretty personal, huh?
Yeah, I've personally feeling like lots of noodles hanging from me and everything.
So the next thing I want to talk about is, for me at least, I often tend to get into thinking that I'm right about things and holding on to being right, and the difficulty or the problem that can be about holding on to being right. It says, that is back to the man with a pure white mind. It says, but the man whose mental contentment comes from the image of holiness with which he tries to impress others, and from the pride he has in his obedience rather than in pleasing God, would lose his obedience and his worship of God. He has to ask him, Allah, for forgiveness, because his contentment is not an honest one and his obedience is not true. So his mind, which understands the rules of obedience in this false way and directs itself toward the admiration and respect of others, this is an incomplete mind. Those who possess this kind of obedience must return to the righteous way of virtuous men and get rid of their false obedience and their liking for mean and low things by advancing themselves and making their obedience for God alone, and they must make it their sole purpose to please Allah. Beware of making your obedience barren, and beware of your desire to be a leader in your tribe and among your relatives and brothers, thus leading you astray from your pure morals. For you have to know that your desire to be a leader, to show off and to impress, and the desire towards this earth, all dunya, are all mischiefs. So run away from them unto God. So I really want everybody to just take a moment and see if we could really live from this place all the time, which I'm not saying that all of us can do, because we're all in different stations and we have to accept the station that we're in, that if we can really believe in a place where we can really hold that Allah is one who's bringing everything that happens to us and that everything is for our own good and our betterment and leading us closer in proximity to Allah, how that makes this world feel like it's a much safer place to be. And how we can kind of feel like we're having control back over our lives rather than all those outside circumstances having control over us. And the other piece of this is that I think Sherry mentioned before is about how we can really change the world by changing ourselves. Because the more that we clean ourselves and the more we allow the true qualities of Allah to begin to transmit and vibrate, that anybody who comes in contact with us is going to be changed by that, because now we'll resonate within them those qualities of Allah, which will help to make those a lot stronger in the other person rather than just triggering all their nafs. And another story I want to give here is when I was home for Christmas this last time, my husband, when he came home, he said, there were three things that happened. He said that I've never seen your family in the 11 years that I've been part of your family. And he said, I think it's because of you. And it wasn't anything you said or did, because he said you never talked about what you're doing or worked with any of your family. But when you kissed your mom and told her goodbye, he says, as you walked away, your mom said, I love you. Now, my mom has never told me to my face that she loves me. And I didn't hear her, so it wasn't until my husband told me that I even knew it. But she said it first rather than, you know, just as a response. And then also my sister was there with her children. She has six kids. And the two of her daughters, as they were leaving, went up and told my grandma, or their grandma and grandpa, my mom and dad, that they loved my mom and dad. And they've never done that before either. So he said, there seemed to be a lot of love being talked about in your family, and he said, this is something different because this is not something that's ever broached. You know, we don't touch each other, we don't say we love each other, or, you know, act like we care. So it's just something that had spontaneously changed in my family. And I want to say it's not because of anything I've been consciously doing, because you don't. Once you really clean it, it's just a natural state of your being that your soul will just do this work. And if you don't mind me indulging in another story, this last August, we went on our first family vacation ever, and we took Katie and my stepson Kevin, and it was my husband and I on this trip. And now my stepson Kevin, for those of you who may not be totally familiar with him, he's had a kidney transplant, but he's 15 years old and he still pees his pants every day. And we were all staying in the same hotel room, so he had to stay with me 24 hours a day because we were in the same hotel room together or we were out walking around Disney World together. And the second day that we're there, he quit peeing his pants. And he hasn't peed his pants since we've been home. And that's been 4 months now or whatever. So when I ask Alon what happened there, he says just because of being in the close proximity of my soul and my soul working with him, because he's in my physical field, that that was helping to raise his vibration enough that it was helping to heal that. So I just want to see how powerful we can be and how much influence we can have on others.
You went through some healing to get to that place. Oh,
definitely.
Home, right?
Definitely. Oh, yes. No, that was not, this was not.
Yeah.
No, and that's the other thing I want to say is that even my relationship with Kevin, as most of you know, has not been good. But for me, in this place, he's tolerable. I can put up with him being there without being too triggered by him. Where I can tell you, you know, 5 years ago, it just made me sick to be around him and to, you know, all the stuff that was going around him. So Kevin has been a great teacher for me and being a mirror and showing me all the places that I still needed to clean. And I knew that even at the time, but it sure didn't make it any easier in dealing with it.
Once you cleaned your mirror, you didn't have to clean up after him?
That's right.
I could give an example of the unconscious healing.
Uh-huh.
It's like a lot. I could give an example of the unconscious healing. Like my mom has like blood pressure, you know, goes down. I mean, we're talking like 200 over 140, 120, you know. And she has blood pressure pills. So when the baby was born, all of a sudden she gets off the blood pressure pills.
Gets
off the blood pressure pills. And now when her blood pressure goes up, I go get the baby, watch the baby. And all of a sudden it goes.
I'm doing that. This baby is great.
Yeah. So what is it that happens? Is because this baby has so few pictures yet, and there's just this radiation of a lot that it just immediately comes, you know. It was like so amazing. She could be in all these places. I just had it, but he goes, and she goes, and boom, a lot of them right. So be the baby, other people. You know, be the baby.
It's a clear mirror of Allah's qualities. So I assume we're going over time, but there's a few more pages I want to read out of CD's books before we finish, because I really think that this has the clearest transmission to really help us to really understand this in a deep way. So the other thing I'd mentioned earlier was about how, however we see other people or how we interpret these events, this is really how we see Allah. So if we're seeing these negative qualities in other people or having these reactions, these are things, this is how our relationship with Allah is actually being impacted. It's just not about this other person. So again, this is back to the chapter on the man with the pure white mind, page 50. It says, understand, beloved, that the ranks of slavery are the manifestations through which everyone can behold the reality of God. If you face any of these ranks appearing in any of these manifestations, know that you are facing God. You are the mirror in which these ranks reflect themselves, and through you as a reflection, all people can behold these ranks. And as you are a slave, it is from the adab not to see another, but as a slave in testimony of God. So see in him your God, even if he is not a slave. Understand and be careful to not hide this knowledge from him, as your testimony of his slavery ensures your slavery. If all the qualities of slavery, the courtesy, al-adab, and good character are within you, it is only because of the presence of the reality of God, who is the basis of all these perfections. Thus you must always see the other slave as yourself. In this way you behold God in his slaves. Therefore you are obliged by the adab of slavery to recognize any slave as the evidence of God. In brief, there is no divine witness, meaning a slave, but that his existence gives evidence of the existence of God. And know, my beloved, that the slave who confesses his slavery upon the attainment of truth is one whose divinity is truly realized. And this slave beholds God in all his manifestations and sees that the signs of God are everywhere. The existence of every rank of slavery is a sign pointing to the existence of God. You who believe in slavery and desire it, look at your brothers with Aladab and you will see your God. They are the reflections through whom your God is revealed to you. And know that only through the slave can you see your God. So the rank of slavery is the highest rank, as the station of the slave is the highest station. And Jules also brought up to me a paragraph out of The Music of the Soul, and Al-Wajud Ilahi, the divine existence, that I find that is very pertinent to this as well. It says, "Know, O follower of Allah, that fate moves according to your susceptibility and your readiness, for this is latent in your capability and your willingness. Since the susceptible readiness, that is you, is a source of manifestations for you, you should learn that anything that emerges from you is for you, and an emergence emerges to none but you. It comes out from your susceptibility to your readiness. Nothing comes out to you except that which is for you, even though you thought it was separate from you and thought it sprang from your imagination, contrary to what you are. Indeed, everything from you is for you, and anything for you is from you, especially if you realize this and learn that your fixed being rank necessitates this so as to appear in accordance with the traits built in you. So nothing comes out from you except that which goes back to you in the images of your stages. And anything these stages may show, being your stages, is for you, and nothing but that, since all the manifestation of your being is what is being witnessed. This witness being, which is the mother of your stages, is the one for your existing stage. Whatever you see is from you, and whatever you find is for you. And whatever is for you in every situation by itself is nothing but from you. You shall be that which you judge. If you judge one of your prominent stages in which there are manifestations of your being as being variations, then it is what you judge it to be, be it variations for you or from you. If you judge them as being contrast and troublesome, then they are so, coming out from you. And if you judge anything in whatever stage it appears to be the truth in itself, that is your right, and it is yours according to your judgment." So there's
what's the reference of that again? The Divine Existence.
The Divine Existence and Music of the Soul. Page 199. Yeah. Okay, and there's just a couple paragraphs here from Man with the Pure White Mind that I want to complete with. Let's see, what did we not cover? Page 49, paragraph 3. Okay, it says, back with the Man with the Pure White Mind, it says, despite his sinful ways, we're talking about seeing a sinful man, it says, despite his sinful ways, he expects to be forgiven and to have his faults concealed. He wants to be guided and helped by God, and despite his sinfulness, then in his granting of these requests, we find evidence of the greatness of God, the beholder of the secrets, the wise, Al-Hakim, and the bestower, Al-Wahhab. There are plenty of signs that point to God, but the evildoer misses all the opportunities for contentment, for authority and hopefulness, which are mentioned before. Thus, it would be best for him to repent and change his state from evil to goodness. So if you see an obedient person, thank God for providing you with a mirror through which you can correct any deficiencies in yourself. If you see a sinful person, thank God for your being on the straight path and try to help him onto the straight path too. If you see a sinful person, look upon his sins in a lighter way than on yours. If you are a sinful person, thank God for showing you the right way and change yourself toward the good. God is the giver and the taker, and he will put you into a station corresponding to your attitude toward him. I want to repeat that part again. That God is the giver and the taker, and he will put you in a station corresponding to your attitude toward him, Allah. If you are an obedient person, do not be proud of your obedience, because it is from God. And I think we've got one last paragraph, and then we'll be closing here. So what Allah does, it says, when he sees a sinful person, it says he conceals him, is merciful unto him, is clement with him, and protects him. He gives him wisdom to make him understand the truth of living in sin. Being in this place, he sees his sins and how the divine care did not leave him, and how his God guides him in obedience and disobedience. So understand that the real slave was favored, given mercy, and then witnessed the reality of God in all the difficulties that faced him. To resume, you have to glorify, my beloved, the holiness of God by following him through being one of his followers. You cannot glorify anything you do not see until you are a real slave, and thereby testify God exists in his followers. You glorify him through his followers, and it is your duty to see his holiness in his followers. Know that God, the generous and the truthful, puts you in the same rank in which you put him.